Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we are here to talk the big stories of tech that have gone on this week and all the things that have happened. And there's a fair few things that we can get through today because it's pretty good. Atlee has bagsied a story for the GCHQ listening one, so no one else can have that one because he hasn't got a chance to get another story, as you'll realise why in a second. Joining me, fantastic panel. One thing I want to do before we start, and I did this on the Mac show, and I'm going to do it here as well to make sure that everyone hears. My son had his AirPods lifted by two little shits in the street on the other day, and overnight while I was out last night, all the people in the Slack room had a whip round and they bought me a new set. And I've got to say, from a week where I've had the worst of humanity has affected me boy to the best of humanity has affected my boy, is superb. Can't say thank you enough. They were absolutely brilliant. Thanks to everyone in the Slack room for doing that. It's unreal. Unreal. Fantastic behaviour. Thank you so much. And Camps, you were involved in that.
Yep. No, my pleasure.
Magic Man kicked it off. Then Rickards did all the... they weren't supposed to get a discount, but James spoke to his friends, told them the situation, what had happened, and they were just Apple was instantly in with a, yep, not a problem. So... thank you to Apple as well, I suppose. Camps, how you been, mate? We haven't seen you for a few weeks.
Yeah, good. Training. Where did I miss last week?
Ran a marathon.
Yeah, did my marathon. Finally got a marathon under my belt. Did that Sunday in Liverpool. Rock and roll one t-shirt. So, yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, hang on, that's not the cool bit. What was the time?
3:43:16.
So, your first marathon, sub 4.
Yeah. Sub 4. Yep. Went well. Mate. Went well, to be honest. It was a lot hillier than I expected. Just a touch under 1,000 feet of climbing. I wasn't quite expecting that. Mother and then the last 4 miles down the down the Docklands, wind was brutal right in the face. I think that probably cost me about a minute and a half for them lost 4 miles.
Oh, bloody hell, man.
Yeah, not unhappy at all with that time.
God, no. My cousin's fit as a butcher's dog, mate, and his first marathon, he took 5 hours, and he was chuffed at that. And we saw Steve Naber do it in 3:42, didn't we? That was impressive. Mm. So, very impressed, mate. Thoroughly well done. Yeah. Did you hit the wall?
I didn't hit the wall. It was the wind that hit me. Yeah, no, I fueled it well. Everything went well for me. It was, like I said, the hills caught me out a little bit, probably rocked my pace in the middle sections a little bit more than I thought it were going to do. But as soon as that wind came along, it was just hitting you back. I talked to two or three really experienced runners afterwards, and they were saying they think it probably added about another mile to a mile and a half's worth of effort. Jeez. In that last 4 miles just from the wind factor alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It's done. Next one's October now, and it's a little bit flatter, so hopefully, as long as I train right, I'll be able to do a little bit better.
Cool. Excellent. Well done, mate. Join us again this afternoon for the second.
First one?
That was my first one, yeah.
I have to say, I thought wind would help you. A bit like a rocket power.
If it's behind you, it does. it was absolutely right in the face, and yeah, the wind of that kind was nowhere near competing.
Bloody hell.
How long did you train for it?
I've probably been training on and off for the best part of a year because I was meant to run Yorks last October when I broke my leg. So, I didn't run between September and Christmas.
And I suppose that's my fault.
Yeah, that's Ewan's fault for telling me to break my leg. So, I suppose to answer it properly, Atley, January, I got back into training.
Join us for the second time today. It's Jeffrey. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. And I still think it is so awesome how everyone chipped in to get those new AirPods. And what is wrong with kids thinking that it's okay to steal like that?
Well, there's we got footage of them.
Good.
So they're going to get a good shagging, I think, because the police are ringing us tomorrow to start the investigation. And
excellent.
And they've if they've got when I said we got footage, they perked up a little bit. So it's we'll find them. They got us coming. Next to him, this is we've had Don McAllister dial in from before, but he stopped the car to do it. Attlee is driving for 6 hours. The only difference is he's driving across a state that takes 15 hours to drive across, so we actually isn't going to see another car throughout the whole show. Attlee, how you doing, mate?
That's funny. Nah, there's lots of cars here. It's just...
Dude, we're going to get hit with safety information and shit like that of people going, oh, that wasn't safe. You shouldn't have done that. I'm never watching BTN again.
I'm watching the road. I'm not even looking at you guys. I'm driving. Thank God.
I'm
talking while I'm driving. Same as if I had you guys in the car here with me. We're just having a conversation.
Are we there yet?
Good point.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Who did that one? Stinks.
Yes, get out.
So, where are you going to? Are you going to your mother's?
I'm going to my mom's house because I'm helping her change phones. So she wants to get a new phone. And so I'm going to go there, make sure that the transition goes smoothly and that everything works. Probably pick up another tablet for her too, so that she's got everything all updated and working before for the next year or so.
Excellent, mate. Good. Yeah. Well, be safe, for Christ's sake. Don't die on the way through.
Oh, I am. I'm not going to die on the way through.
And last, in the studio here. Oh, but my name is Lee Muller. How you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just looking up Canadian road trip films, and there's some good ones for you. There's one called Roadkill.
Canadian road trip films, that's a bit niche.
I know, but I mean, he's on a road trip, isn't he? Hardcore Logo, Highway 61, and Cloudburst, and there's a couple of others, but they don't look very good. Or Going Down the Road.
How come none of those titles got A on the end of it?
I was going to say, how come none of them just called I'm Driving, eh?
I'm Driving, eh? Going Down the Road, eh?
Well, I'm just looking. There's some more actually listed. No, they're not road trip ones. I'm fine anyway. Carry on.
All right, mate, that's fine. Have you had a good week?
Oh, I don't want to go into that.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Moving on swiftly. Jesus. Right, we'll just stop the show then, shall we? Christ almighty. It's like, the week in tech. Let's do Attlee's story first, so that if he has an accident, we've got it under our belt. Tech companies critique the UK's plans to spy on encrypted messages. So this is GCHQ. He's got plans to see every message. This one's amazing. Go on, Attlee, talk us through it, mate.
Basically, what's happened is GCHQ has announced their plans to try and get carriers, or rather force both carriers and device manufacturers or device makers to give them access to not only to help them break into phones when they need to for security reasons, but also be able to get into encrypted messages. So things like what secure messaging, they want to have access to even get through the encrypted message parts. And of course, understandably, everybody has sort of had, you know, a bit of an outrage at this. All of the software manufacturers or software makers and device manufacturers are all sort of in an uproar about, you know, what this means for their products and for them to be able to properly, you know, give their customers the support that their customers are expecting. And GCHQ is basically answered with, well, we're just trying to start a dialogue here. We expected some pushback, but we want to get into the conversation. So I don't know if that means that they're going to be pushing, they're going to be really trying to drive this forward, or whether they're trying to see how far they can push the envelope. I'm just curious, what do you guys think about, you know, these ploys by different governments and different agencies to try and get access to messaging that we think is secure, given that I mean, we're not always sure that their stuff is secure. Like, what do you guys think of that? What do you think that there should be an allowance made for these things to help stop terrorism and to, you know, I just feel it's a slippery slope.
The trouble is a lot of terrorists don't use these.
Horrible idea.
Well, terrorists don't use these things. I mean, the London Bridge blokes didn't use their phones other than to Google locations.
But a lot of them send SMSs.
That's true. They didn't even do that.
People that are doing this are using burner phones that just send text messages. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so there are real problems with going down this path. And the first one is that if device makers and app makers are put in a position where they have to create backdoors so that government entities can access encrypted data, those backdoors are accessible to everyone. And to think that those will remain secret and out of the hands of rogue players, whether that's oppressive governments or criminal entities or terrorists, that's just crazy. Once something like that's made, it gets out.
Yeah. So the way I understand this story, I only know a little bit about it, but the way I've heard about this story is that what GCHQ are doing here is not asking the various companies, WhatsApps, your Facebook Messenger, and the rest, to create a backdoor as such, but to in effect CC. So on every message, if I'm sending you a message, Jeff, mm-hmm. I'm sending you the message, but in effect, that message gets CC'd into a third recipient, let's call them, GCHQ. Well,
it's blind carbon copy, isn't it?
Yeah. So they're getting it without they're getting a copy of our message without us necessarily knowing and without them having to actually tap into our messaging system. It's basically going to be delivered straight to them. So they're giving them it on a plate.
But what they're getting is unencrypted.
No.
So that they can...
No, it's not encrypted.
They're a recipient. It's still encrypted, but they're a recipient.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But they're
still insanely bad.
They're a blind carbon copy recipient.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
To every single message on every single platform is what research you're asking for.
So how long do those private keys stay private?
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Well, all those keys... Yeah, but the... It's not a private key. It's basically just
a message.
Carbon copy to @GCHQ.
Adding a second person to all the conversations. Just adding a hidden person to every conversation.
So you send in a WhatsApp message to Jeff Gamut, and Jeff Gamut gets it, but so does GCHQ. Like, it's a group message, but you never know that I've sent it to them as well as.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's encrypted, and no one's getting to it unless someone gets into the @GCHQ account.
Yeah.
Right. But for GCHQ to be in the loop with their blind carbon copy, there's an additional key, encryption key in the mix, because each person or entity in a chat like that has an encryption key. Yeah. So that means their encryption key could at some point get compromised, and then all of that information is potentially accessible.
Yeah, what I don't know is if that encryption key is a single encryption key for that message or that message thread, or whether it's different for every single message thread that they receive.
I'm just looking at the other link, and I can't see how they can do it, because I mean, surely this will go against Ripper. They'd have to change the law to do this. Because you can't just spy on everybody. You've got to have a reason to spy on someone. You can't just blanket spy on everybody. And you can't just watch somebody. I mean, there was an example on a podcast the other day, and loads of members of the public got it wrong. He says, what happens if you get a phone call about Atlee Hunter driving down a road in Canada drunk? Could you watch him with a camera? No, you can't. You have to get permission in this country to watch him on a camera.
A ripper for everyone is Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act. So it's limitations on how you can...
Well, even then it would only be temporary. You'd have to go to the courts to get an extended one. I think there's a time limit on ripper.
No, ripper's gone to senior officer now, isn't it, though?
Only a superintendent or above, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't just keep on doing that. You've got to eventually get go to the courts and say, can we continue to do this? It's only for short term.
Would this not fall over in a scenario where all the tech firms say no? We're not doing it. So, in theory then, GCHQ, the British government, say, fine, you're not allowed to trade in the UK anymore. Everyone else says, so. And then, ultimately, the idea is flat on its face anyway, because the public outcry would probably be huge.
Mm. Yeah. It would.
So it all falls over.
I'm curious if they're taking into account a VPN. So, theoretically, if you're running a VPN all the time, you're running an encrypted tunnel. So does that mean that this intermediary party would still have access to that data?
See, that's what will happen is someone will invent a messaging system that uses a VPN, and then that hits a different set of laws, and they won't be able to use it for that.
And then VPNs get outlawed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll have a harder time outlawing VPNs because VPNs are used by corporations all the time for all business. If they outlaw VPNs, that will break down an awful lot of tech. So that'll break down an awful lot of industry that's not just tech related.
Yeah, well, and if you're allowing a government entity to collect all these otherwise encrypted conversations, that's a big problem for a lot of corporations as well, because they probably have proprietary information that is being sent at times through encrypted channels like this.
I'm looking at this. I can't see. It's not a blanket order. It's going to be, because because of Ripper in the UK, they don't literally have to identify who they want to watch. So if they had information that Jeff Gamet was planning a terrorist incident in London.
The proposal is all messages of all people.
But they can't do that because that would not be what's the word I'm looking for?
No, I know in law at the moment there's no facility for this to happen. But they'd have to change the law, I think, exactly as you said. So it's just a case of how do they change it? But the proposal that they want is all messages all the time for everyone.
I can't see it happening.
It won't be proportionate. And that says, I'm just reading a bit further down, and under UK law at the moment, under the Ripper, it's not proportionate. And it's certainly not necessary. So I think this will fail anyway. Even if it got through, I think if it got to Court of Appeal or to further, it'll get dumped. There's no way this will go through.
Comments in here. Aren't there laws against podcasting whilst driving, says Swamp Rat? Surely. Absolutely.
There probably are, but we have to use the term podcast very loosely with this crew.
Yeah.
So you're fine.
I'm allowed to talk on the phone while I'm driving. It's illegal. Just because I'm having a voice call doesn't mean anything.
And Deepan says, if GCHQ can do this, it wouldn't be geographically ring-fenced, so all global traffic would be collected, and we'd go back to the CIA collecting US citizen data again.
That's a great point.
From GCHQ.
Germany. Germany won't accept it because of their privacy laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump won't accept it because probably got the using Huawei.
We're trying so hard to alienate ourselves from the international community at the moment, aren't we, in this country? Jesus.
I really can't see this. Reading the link the law link, it's never going to get through. I wouldn't worry about it.
Have you currently got miners trying to detach that actual island from the rest of the planet?
Never mind detach the island, mate. They're trying to just float it off into space, I think.
Could you imagine the amount of data? Data that I have to plow through to get anything useful.
I think the effort, well, it'd be automated, obviously, but the effort is, in terms of return on, warding off threat, is probably negligible, isn't it? That's a needle in an ocean. It's a drop in an ocean. You're wondering what that beeping noise is. It's bloody Atlee cutting off. But at least he's here, eh? Good luck.
That's right.
Sorry. That's all right, mate. Who's got the next story? Oh. Jeff G has started.
Oh, wow. I think I beat everyone in. Wow. Okay.
Fast fingered Jeffy.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Google will let enterprise users escape Chrome's ad blocking restrictions. Tell us more.
All right. Well, first, I've been finding that a lot of people didn't realize that Google is changing the Chrome browser so that ad blockers don't work anymore, or at least the current crop of ad blockers. And there has been enough of a backlash, excuse me, that Google has backpedaled, but only a little bit. So what they're saying now is that enterprise level Chrome use, meaning like big companies that are using Chrome as part of their company platform, they'll be able to continue using the current ad blocker tools. For everyone else, though, at some point, and I think it's actually coming up pretty soon, the ad blockers that are in Chrome today, they won't work anymore because the API that Google has for those to hook in and do their thing, they're shutting it off, and they're saying that a newer API, which, hold on, I have to look at it, declarative net request API, that is an option, but they're still kind of trying to figure out how that's going to really work. And so we're in this position where your ad blockers are going to stop working, but at the same time, Google is telling us, no, we're not going to kill these ad content blockers. So I have a feeling that the lashback is that there will be a group of people that decide Firefox looks really good now.
Someone like saying if all Chrome browsers disable ad blockers, I'll head back to Firefox, even as clunky as it is. I'm still using Opera at the moment. But I think Firefox has just been updated, hasn't it?
Doesn't Firefox get updated like 3 or 4 times a day?
No, but there's been a big but there's been a big change to it of late, so it's not what it was a year ago anyway.
Some of these ad blockers though weren't blocking all the ads, weren't they? They were letting some through that paid.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So I don't know what ad blockers are can be trusted.
Pay the blockers?
If you were a company, you just pay the ad blocker and they would not block your ads. So it's a bit like a scheme, a Ponzi scheme, in it, something. Blag your way through for money. I don't use them anyway. If you're blocking ads, then surely the internet will eventually go chargeable. You haven't got to click the ads, have you?
Well, I use an ad blocker on my iPhone.
Paying for the ad blocker, and then.
Atlee, your connection is not good enough, man. Atlee, shut up. Go on, Jeff.
All right. I see value in an ad blocker on my iPhone because a lot of the time I'll be accessing web pages from my cellular connection, and when I stop the ads, my load times increase dramatically, and my data usage goes down dramatically as well. On my desktop, though, I don't use an ad blocker because I totally understand and appreciate that for a lot of sites, the only revenue they're getting comes from their display ads. So I don't want to be taking money out of their pocket, so to speak.
But ad blocker stuff is really useful when you've got the ads are really intrusive. I don't mind a banner. I can cope with a blocked ad. I hate the one where it's like no matter where I move my mouse, it tries to click me into tricking me into clicking, or it shoves the video over the story instead of just being a display ad on one side or the other. That's what pisses me off.
I am so with you. Those aggressive tactics like that cause me to close web pages and not go back to the site really fast.
Yeah, isn't me. I mean, what I do.
We've lost Atlee. not to a car accident, I hope, but he's gone.
Well, he's in the middle of nowhere, Canada, and I believe parts of Canada still don't know what electricity is. So there's probably just no cell signal.
If you'd like to write and complain, then that's jeffgamet@gmail.com. It's not.
I'll follow that up by saying there are parts of Colorado that I think still don't know what electricity is.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Speak from experience.
Not a U.S.-Canadian slangy match. That's all the matters.
It's just understanding the big, open, empty spaces that you can get in the United States and Canada.
I remember Carrie telling me he went to Burning Man, and he was. He said, we lost cell signal just on the way out there. And he said, we had an entire week at Burning Man with no cell signal whatsoever. And then they threw up a tower just on the day that they burnt everything.
Yeah.
Mobile cell tower.
Yep. They set up towers now so that you can have cell signals for those events. Anyhow, well, the Chrome thing. I use Chrome for some things, and I use a Chromium-based browser for most of my stuff because it doesn't do the constant tracking like Chrome does. And I'm thinking that because actually I do block pop-ups, I may have to rethink what browser I use, at least for a while.
Yeah, I use Chrome a lot, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't function well in Chrome now, particularly my bank details. I have to go through Safari to get on the bank.
Yeah. Yep. Chrome I have to run over. Safari to do a lot of online transaction stuff.
Well, my bank has an app, so that's no problem.
Yeah, I always use app.
Yeah,
the app works far better for me now. But if I have to go on and do something, then it's not great.
My app now, actually, you can use Face ID as well, but I haven't turned that on. I just use my little keypad thing.
Yeah. I'm kind of with what Bob's just put in the chat room. It doesn't use Chrome anymore, and Safari's fine for all its browsing. And I'd say for the majority of mine, I use Safari.
Yep.
Occasionally jump onto to Chrome, but in the main, it's nearly all Safari now. iPhone, iPad, and the Mac before it died.
Safari's going to be Chrome soon anyway, so isn't it turning to the same WebKit stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Won't be able to avoid it anyway.
Well, Safari and Chrome, they both use WebKit for part of their engine, so that's nothing new.
There's no consistency anymore, is there? There never has been any consistency about it. There's always been one that outstripped another, and then there was always one that had a problem. So you always shuttled around the browser market anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Microsoft, they totally threw in the towel because now they're using Chrome as the basis for their new web browser.
Yeah.
I don't mind their current web browser. It's actually quite clean. You don't get all those toolbars and stuff, so I don't mind it at all.
Don't think there's no resolution to this, and there's no, it'll just be it's a hurdle for someone to get over, and then they'll drift back when something pisses them off in the next browser that they went to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think cycles. That browser loyalty is not what the browser makers wish it was. I think a lot of people are totally happy to jump ship and go to another browser, especially since every browser has a way for you to take your bookmarks with you.
Mm. Yeah, you can get those in and out pretty easily, yeah. Mm-hmm. I find Edge perfectly fine on Windows 10, says Bob Beach. Deepan says same here, nearly always Safari. Bob Peach doesn't use Chrome anymore. Safari's all fine for his needs. And Deepan says MS Edge is going Chromium-based, not Chrome.
Yes. So I misspoke. Yes, that's true. Chromium-based.
All right, there we go.
Yep.
Chris, have you got a story?
I have. Give us 1 second. There we go. So, yep, it's in the chat room there. So this week, Amazon have launched the Echo Show 5, which is their new... Do you remember, a couple of years ago now, they launched, Amazon extended onto the product range and brought out some, a couple of devices. They brought out the, it was the Dot, wasn't it? Small Amazon device with a screen on there. And then they brought out the Echo Show, which had a small rectangular screen on there as well. What they've launched this week is the Show 5, the newest iteration of it. Named 5 because of the 5.5-inch display, built-in camera for video chats, and everything else that you'd normally find with your A-lady device. Two particular points that jumped out at me with this. One is the price. They've dropped the price on this to £80 in the UK, $90 in the US, I think it is. Don't know where it is elsewhere. We all know that now that Amazon obviously can listen to the conversations, whether they be triggered inadvertently or purposely, and more stories have come out about that recently. There's 2 points on the Echo Show 5 though that I thought were really interesting. They've put a physical switch on there now, and that physical switch. Absolutely comes up to say that, one, your camera is disabled in the device, and so is the speaker as well, and it displays an icon telling you that the video and speaker is essentially deactivated. So even when you want to purposely speak to it, you have to flick the switch to enable that. And secondly, the camera has got a physical camera cover on it as well. So I'm just wondering why Amazon have taken these steps to, you know, is there a bit of a confidence thing going on that they've seen with their devices? Because for me, to put the physical camera cover on and camera switch, it's a bit of a jump for them. It's, you know, it's not what I would have expected Amazon to do when obviously what they want to do is be listening and collecting data.
What they want to do is sell you more stuff. So my take on this is that Amazon realizes that they're in a position where one of the most valuable things that they have with their customers is a trust relationship. So doing little things like this can enhance that trust relationship, and if they do that, then maybe there's a higher likelihood that you continue to make your purchases through Amazon. Mm-hmm. If it was Google doing this, I'd be really surprised.
Sorry, Jeff, go on. I cut over you then.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that if it was Google that was adding in these new, I'll call them more enhanced privacy features, I'd be really surprised. Because with Google, they really need to get all of that data because we're the product they're selling.
Yeah. Kind of made me think when, I think it was Bart several weeks ago, chose an alarm clock as one of his cool things. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking this Echo Show 5 now, if you can physically, you know, this would work great at the side of the bed, you know, in terms of confidence. It actually has the picture on this particular story that I've posted. You know, if you want to be able to turn off the mic and you want to be able to close the shutter over the camera, at £79, this is a perfectly priced and sized device to have bedside. And then you can just, you know, flick it on when you want to play some music and stuff like that. Meanwhile, you know, it's there and it looks pretty cool as well.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I was listening to the news show. You can tell Amazon now to Echo to delete all the data by the day.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
To delete your recordings.
Yeah, only the day though, so.
Yes.
So if you don't forget to do it.
Delete everything that you've heard today.
Yeah, or delete that last thing I said.
Well, if you want to delete older recordings, you have to go into the A-Lady app or log into your account in a web browser.
Yes.
But adding in the ability just to say, get rid of my recordings, and it gets rid of the day's recordings, that is a nice thing to add in.
Mm. Could also see this working on desks as well for people doing video calling. Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're doing other bits of work that you don't want to overhear, particularly in the corporate environment, you might want to knock the mic off. But when you do, easy, click it open, and then you can have your ear lady call your family and friends. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great product that Amazon have added to their lineup now, and I can see this being a really popular one at a really good price point, £80.
Yeah, the price is keen, isn't it? Very good. Bob Beecher said, just what I wanted, bigger screen in the spot and much cheaper as well. And Deep Pan said, adding physical switches and covers is probably a very easy and cheap way to put a potential owner at ease, getting more Amazon Trojan horses into your home.
I mean, although, if you...
There you go.
If you're asleep and the screen comes on, though, you're going to be blinded.
Yeah, there is that how it responds, because that will come on if it's by your bed, and that's what they're clearly targeting from the image that they're shown. Is how do you limit it coming on? Because it's going to disrupt your sleep pattern most definitely if it keeps flickering on and off.
Maybe it's me. I have my iPhone at the side of the bed in a dock. My iPhone is my alarm clock.
Yeah.
Whenever a text message, a new Sky News notification alert, any of that comes in on a night, it's muted, but the screen obviously does light up. I've never had it impact my sleep.
Yeah, but with light, it's one of those things that it can affect the depth of your sleep without actually waking you up.
Right.
Yeah.
You can hide your phone, can't you, and put it below your eyesight, but this is meant to be in your eyesight.
Mm.
Despite Bob's comment this afternoon in the Mac show where he said, I tend to know if I've had a good night's sleep or not, it's not about that, because it's about quality of that sleep, and you can wake up feeling refreshed and you've still had quality issues with your sleep. For the price, it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? I mean, I've got an Amazon Echo by the bed, and we love it. We have it playing like nature sounds for sleep at night when we go to sleep.
Mm.
And if the quality of the speaker in this is good, it could be a real well worth having.
Mm. I think Bob said that he's already ordered one, so let us know, Bob, when that comes in.
Give us a review, mate.
Yeah, do us a review. We can get it posted.
26th of June.
Mm.
If you want to buy it. There we go. What about if you talk in your sleep?
Yeah. Said Magic Man. You wake up and find you've ordered 10 cases of creamed corn.
Get that pin number in. I've got an Amazon Echo out in the studio here in the white room, and a couple of the photographers that hired the place ordered a dozen condoms once on it for me.
Beautiful.
Thanks, boys.
Extra tiny.
No, it wasn't that. It was just like, I'm going to get condoms delivered to the house and the wife's going to go, what? Good on them.
Alice.
Deep Pan wants to know if Echo devices can support Apple Music, and the answer is yes, they can.
In the US.
Yes, in the US.
It's not in the UK at the minute.
You have to go into the Echo or A-Lady app, and then you can add in Apple Music as one of the supported services. Like a skill.
Well,
like you can with Spotify and stuff. Oh, no, it's not actually a skill, I think. It's you enter your account information.
Yeah.
And then it logs into your Apple Music account.
Right. Yeah, okay. So that's cool. I don't think that does it in the UK at the moment, though.
I thought it was on the news show. I'm pretty sure that...
We shall find out. We'll double check. If only there was a place we could go and look up. We'll do
if
it.
If only.
While Muller does his story.
Well, actually, the story you've just done actually plays into mine.
Oh, blimey. Segways.
Segway, yeah. Snapchat employees are snooping on you with their SnapLion tool. So apparently several of their employees have been looking at your Snapchats. And this has been reported by 4X employees and a current employee. In fact, one has already been sacked. And this tool, apparently, they've been using it to look at other people's, anyone's data. Without company authorization. So we're talking about Amazon and Google and Facebook all doing it. and Snapchat's doing it as well. One particular person used Facebook, but a security engineer there used personal data to stalk women. So there you go. Anyone want to comment?
What's the degree of security around Snapchat? Is it at the level of WhatsApp or all encryption end to end only?
I thought it disappeared after a certain period of time as well, didn't it?
I don't know. It's your story, dude.
Well, but that's what I thought Snapchat was, where you send people Snapchats and then once they've read it, it's supposed to disappear.
Oh, right. Okay.
Isn't that how
I don't
it
use
works?
Snapchat, so yeah.
Nor me, but I mean, that's what I thought that people use it for.
You're right, Molly. Yes. But you can save snaps within Snapchat.
Oh, right.
So if somebody's saved one, now I don't know if this is, if I'm a Snapchat user and I've saved one of my snaps, therefore it's in my profile I can reuse. I don't know if it works like that or if I could save one of somebody else's I've seen. I'm pretty sure it's not that. I think that's what this is reporting on here.
But it's just some sort of God mode thing that's in the app. That's what they're using. So...
Is this a story, though? As in, most organisations, the organisation I work for has a lot of information on its customers. There are people who work within the organisation who, to do their job, need to have access to that stuff using various applications, various tools they need to do their job for the good of the end customer. However, those people, if they wanted to, could use it for stuff that they shouldn't be using it for. Now, that's absolutely a breach of their employment contract. If the company found out, absolutely the police would be involved. Is this not the same for people who work in most companies who operate with user data in one way or another, that there will be somebody somewhere that has access to do something with it?
Clearly, because I mean, I had the same as you. I had access to people's data.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if I used it personally, I'd be breaking the law and could end up in prison. Minimum sacked, anyway. At the end of the day, if you've got access to people's details for the good of the company, then you're authorised to do that. It's when you step outside of those guidelines that you're going to hit the problems, aren't you?
Yeah, and what they've said in the story that you've posted, it says employees do have access to do certain things, the robust policies and controls to limit internal access to data that they have. Unauthorized access to any kind is a clear violation in the company's standards of business conduct, and if detected, results in immediate termination. Is this not the same for, well, I don't know how many, tens of thousands, millions of companies out there?
Of course it is. I mean, I once caught someone, some idiot left their computer open at work and unfortunately didn't log out. And I just happened to be, I was busy at the time and just happened to look to my left and saw someone accessing that data. And at the time I was kind of in charge because I was a senior person in the room. Watched them do it, commented to them what you're doing, and then... As soon as they left, I basically logged the system off, told the person who did it, and as soon as I could, informed a senior officer, because then you can go, it was the PNC, by the way, we could then contact the PNC Bureau for our force and go, look, this we've just had on this account some stuff happen that we're not happy with. And it turns out this woman was stalking one of the other officers and was trying to get she was actually getting his car details and his address so she could park outside his house. So, I mean, one, that the person who left his computer open got quite a big rollicking, but she got the sack. I think she should have gone to prison, but there you go. But they don't realise that all this information is recorded, and surely when you access someone's details... it's recorded somewhere, so if something goes wrong, they can see if you had access to it or should have had access to it or reason why you had access to it. Can you justify it? Yeah?
I think what this story doesn't tell us is, so clearly this Snapline tool exists, and there's probably legitimate reasons why it exists. What the story doesn't tell us is so how many people have access to it, and how many people have used information that they shouldn't have done, or accessed information that they shouldn't have done without due cause.
It's not that much information in there other than that it's there. So if people think that their snaps are private, they're not. But it brings into a lot of companies are doing this, aren't they? And I mean, the amount of abuse of systems at the moment within these companies, maybe they should take a look at how many people have got access to information. Like a gatekeeper.
Mm.
I mean, presumably your organisation has a gatekeeper, someone who basically authorises people to access information. Certainly we did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Many rounds of that.
And then it, obviously you get what we used to call them yellow perils, which was basically they would do a 1 in 10 check, and if they couldn't work out why you did it, they'd send you this form and it was yellow. And then you'd have to try and remember why you did it. But I used to put so much information why I did it, is I got very few of them. But they did come, and you'd have to justify why you accessed that information.
Mm.
Which was always a problem when people on the streets were radio up for information and you were doing it on their behalf.
Oh, right, yeah. But you know, yeah. Well, then you really would be making notes, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you put who asked for it and why you gave it them, and then it passes the buck to them. But it still leaves you open to problems. I'm not going to go into specifics.
So,
good call.
going back to the previous thing about can you do Apple Music, I've just gone into the Alexa app and tried to enable it, and it's not giving me an option to enable Apple Music. But 9to5 Mac is carrying a story that says that it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on the news show. That's where I got it from. I get all my news from the news show. From Kyle.
No, I don't. I can't find out how to do it. So it's not in the list of options for me.
You and I've just... I went into it a minute ago. If you go to Skills and Games, I've not enabled it yet. Skills and Games, and then search and type in Apple Music.
Where's search?
Top right hand corner. So you hit the little hamburger button first in the top left, then hit Skills and Games on that from the list.
Yeah, Apple Music. All right. Okay. Apple Music. Unable to use.
Yeah.
So it is a skill, right?
Woohoo! But Apple Music.
There we go. This is great audio, isn't it? Me typing my password in for Apple.
Okay, you and I have another place I want you to go try.
For what?
To see if you can get at Apple Music. So instead of going into Skills and Games, go into Settings. And then tap Music. Because that's where I set it up.
Well, that's where I tried to set it up, and it wasn't there. Because all it got was Spotify.
Did you tap where it says Link New Service?
Try it now.
Just double-checking.
Now you've gone in and you essentially enabled the skill. See if it's in your music list.
So I've just got some shit thing from my account saying I've got to have a verification code. And it's just popped up on all your screens with the verification code.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sweet.
Yeah, but it's only a one-off, isn't it? It won't work if you... What time you put this out?
This is really good audio now.
Yeah, this is great. Sorry, everyone. Trust. There we go.
Yeah, look, we're all holding our phones up to our microphones.
Hello.
To help.
Right. So you say, "Hey, lady, play music by X person on Apple Music."
And yes.
She'll do it. So presumably, then, if you've got your Sonos speakers, it's going to take about 20 minutes to order up some music. Hey, lady, play Artist A on Apple Music on Sonos Group?
It'll look great if you're using the Sonos. Which one? What's the model? Is it one?
Five. Oh, is it?
No, the player. Sorry, not the player. The Sonos one. The one with AirLady built in.
Yeah, the one on play on the top.
Yeah.
I have found that some devices that have AirLady built in that are not an Echo product have limited support for services. Mm-hmm. So your Sonos with the AirLady built in may not actually play Apple Music through the AirLady.
Useful bit of information here from Jovdnva in the chat room. He says the way to do it is you can use it instead of Spotify. You don't have to say Apple Music, though, if you go into the app and set it up as your default music service. Which I have, I'm doing now. Another, more great audio. Music, here we go. Select music service. Now I've got three dots spinning around, and Apple Music is there. It goes to settings, and it just says it's linked. It doesn't tell me that it's the default. Oh, choose default music service. There we go. Apple Music. Do you have to keep the station service, perhaps, as Amazon? Because Apple hasn't got music services, has it? So that means the kids won't get of the popular stuff that they... Because they're always getting really pissed off because they go, oh, play such and such by such and such, because it's in the hit parade. And they end. It was a joke. And it goes, here's a sample of Ariana Grande. And you're like, thank God it's only a sample. But Briony's pissed off. Javizan is Bob Beach, apparently. So there we go. Excellent. Good stuff. Have you done a story mode? Yes.
Just done it. Yeah.
That was the Snapchat one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Camps has got it right. There's a quote actually in here just to finish it off. In response to the report, Snap gave the following rebuttal. Any perception that employees might be spying on our community is highly troubling and wholly inaccurate. Protecting privacy is paramount to that. We keep very little user data and we have a robust policy and control and limit access to the data that we do have, including data within tools designed to support law enforcement. Unauthorized access of any kind is a clear violation of the company's standards of business conduct, and if detected, results in immediate termination of employment. That should say at the end of it, rather than killing employee.
that's an important distinction.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. They're wonderful. They look after us, give us all the bandwidth, give us all the storage, everything you need. I say it every week, but it's the truth. We need you to give them brand recognition back. You don't have to go and fill your basket and buy loads and loads of stuff off them, although you can do. BTN20 is your offer code. Get your 20% off your basket. But please, please, please get yourself onto social media. Thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. You do that. If every person did that, then they would be extremely happy with what we're giving them. That is it. Just please do that. It's really, really important that you do. And also then, thank you to Wirecast, because they are taking the cookies. There we go. And they give us the software that allows us to do all the streaming and all the switching and all the green screen work and that kind of stuff. And then finally, thanks to Hoya as well, because they look after us too. I've got my glasses here, my Yanikus. They've got a new project coming up, and I can't tell you what it is yet. Still embargoed. But when I can, you'll be impressed. It's good.
I really hope it's a monocle, because you will look so awesome with a monocle.
I don't know what I can say, because there's a joke I was just going to make there, and I thought, no, that'll give it away. Don't be a twat. So.
Maybe I'll have a display built in and he can do the podcast with his glasses on.
Yeah, no. Actually, no, I can't say that either. Cams, Christ's sake, save me. Have you got a call through, mate?
So, yeah, I have, yeah. So it's what I'm choosing this week is the Aerobee Aeropress. I don't really want to call it a coffee machine because it's not one coffee maker it's described as.
It says coffee maker.
Say again.
It says coffee maker on it. So
yeah, and it's essentially a plastic tube with a filter over the end. So if nobody's seen an Aeropress before, I've had one for a couple of years at home. I love it, but we've just had all the kitchens done at work. So rather than buying crappy instant coffee, I decided to get myself another Aeropress for work. Shove it in my drawer, and I can have decent coffee now. So no, it's not a new model, Bob. It's I don't really know what they could do to improve the design on this one. It's essentially a plastic tube. One goes inside the other with a vacuum rubber stopper, and you put a paper filter in. You put your coffee your coffee grounds in there. You know, you grind some beans, shove them in, pour some water in, let it brew for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then you essentially just press it straight through. You get lovely, smooth, great tasting coffee, and it's not crappy instant. So 25 quid, you just rinse it out in the sink. Really easy to use. Like I say, I've had one for a few years now. Love it. Brilliant.
And as Muller has put in the chat room, it doubles as a penis pump.
So you've tried it, Muller.
yes, good point.
Oh dear,
good point. Don't put your coffee in it though afterwards. Moving on, that was supposed to save me. Jeez. Jeffrey Gamet, save me.
This is just really cool. It's another Lego kit, and it's available on June 1st, and this is the Apollo 11 lunar excursion module, or they're calling it the lunar lander kit. So it's scaled to be the right size for the little minifigures, and it comes with the two astronauts. I find it interesting that they say includes two astronauts instead of saying Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. So I'm assuming that they reached out to the families and said, hey, are you cool if we use the names? And the answer was no. I'm just guessing there. But the kit is really cool. It has the two stages, so you can take the ascent module off of the lander base, and the sides of it pop off also, so you can see the inside of the LEM. And it has the little controls, and it has the airlock doors, and this thing looks really cool. So it's $100 US, excuse me, which means that you're getting this kit for a little bit less than 10 cents a piece, because it has 1,087 pieces in it.
What?
So, yeah,
that's a lot of bits.
That's a lot of little bits. It's part of their creator series, so they say this is a kit that is for 16 years old and older.
Wow.
Yeah,
this is for Black Winter, but it
looks really nice, and it's available June 1st.
$100, not bad.
$100.
That's a keen price, mate. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, so this is on my wish list, or my shopping list now, because this one looks really cool, and I would like to build it. So I will end up buying this before I would get the Stranger Things set. This is just so cool. This will make a nice addition to my Saturn V Lego rocket.
I actually like this one. It's the only one I've liked. I think the chat room's riffing on what I said. Probably best to leave that.
Well, no, deep pun.
Moving on. Muller, what's your cool thing?
Well, I've got something that might be for Bob Beach. My dad's obviously as old as Bob, and he's been having a few problems with because my mum's obviously in a home, and he's been having tech cut me off because they don't allow us to phone the home and pass the phone to my mum. So I can only speak to my mum on the mobile phone, and my dad couldn't see the phone properly and kept cutting me off. So he kept moaning about this. So I bought him one of these on Amazon and had it posted to his house, and Tesco Mobile actually set it up for him. And he's loving it. It's nice and simple. He loves it because it works with his hearing aid. And he actually phoned me just to tell me how brilliant it was. So it's only £24. So if you've got any elderly relatives or Bob who are struggling, this is well worth a purchase.
Word of warning, because I've had this, that my parents' Nokia 520 died. So I've had to get my new phone. And I went and got a big button one. And ordered a new SIM up from Three, and the new SIM came, I stick it in the phone, and Three don't provide 2G compatible SIMs. So, and a Three network SIM will only work in 3G or greater, and this is only a 2G phone, isn't it? Standard GSM. Yeah. So do watch out for your providers, because if it's Three network, they won't support it.
Well, is Tesco EE? Can't remember now.
I don't know, but they obviously do have two G SIMs, but Three network won't, and you might find some of the others don't as well. So
you just go to another company, don't you? So,
well, no, because I pay for my mom and dad's phone, so I didn't. I left it, and I've just put the thing in.
My dad was concerned. He wanted a change from the Tesco Mobile because he thought it was rubbish. He even went down to Devon, couldn't get a signal, but I actually think it was him, because since he's had this phone and the Tesco SIM has gone into it, he's not had a problem. And it's dual SIM as well, so you can buy a second SIM if you...
Yeah, there's two in there, two slots.
I don't know why you'd need that, but there you can do it if you want to.
Yeah.
But anyway, my dad's happy with it, I'm happy that I don't get cut off anymore, so I can actually speak to my mum. Not that it's worth it, but I can actually do speak to her, so... It's well worth considering. That's it.
Cool. Now, my cool thing, last week I picked my F1 seat that I made. You remember?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Right, okay. I've had loads of people playing it. I showed you pictures of Bryony on it. But what Bryony was doing on that day was playing on F1 game 2018. So this is the official F1 game for last year, and the reason I've got it was because it was cheap. I think I got it for £10 off Amazon on a deal, and it's brilliant. Once you get the calibration right on the steering wheel, it really works well, and the facility to make the driving harder and harder. So I've got it on the easiest setting at the moment, and I've started winning some races. But rather than move straight up and go, right, I'll go to the intermediate one, and then all of a sudden I start losing races, you can just mess with some of the criteria. Like, I've got it not helping me with braking anymore, which it was doing before. And that means I can lock up my tyres and flat spot them and that kind of stuff. So you can gradually mess around and pull away all the different stuff. And in the career mode, it's brilliant. There's loads of classic races as well, and there's loads of you can do a race with old kit. And there's loads of challenges in between each Grand Prix weekend and your career mode. It's brilliantly done. And the driving experience is addictive. I've done three Grand Prix in it now, and it is absolutely addictive. Yes, it's available on PS4 as well, Bob. There you go. But it's well worth it. The pictures are kind of nice on here, but it doesn't actually show you the view. Oh, they do a thing here where you get like a reporter who comes and interviews you after your practice sessions and your races and that kind of stuff, and you can choose the answer you want, and that dictates how much your team thinks of you, how much your aero department is happy with you, the way that you're talking about the whole team working. So it's brilliant. It's good. It's well done. Prices vary, but at the moment it's at £20. Where can we get a hold of you?
You can get me at Campaign UK on Twitter. Get me in the Slack room. On Instagram, I am just run Chris. That covers me.
Excellent, mate. Superb. And Jeff, where are you?
I am over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com. And I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. And I mentioned it this morning on the Mac Show, but I'll mention it here too. Text Expander, I'm doing monthly free webinars on how to use Text Expander. So if you want to learn more, just go to textexpander.com, sign up, and I'll teach you some really cool stuff that you probably didn't know you could do. And you get to spend another hour with me, which, that's worth free right there.
Mate, I'd totally do that, because I've kind of not really got into Text Expander, and I should do, because I know it is really powerful, but...
Well, consider me your personal trainer.
Hopefully. Do you record the webinars and can we watch them later, or is it going to be live?
Absolutely. They're done live, and after the webinar, you get a link so that you can watch it. And you can watch it as much as you want. And if you want to give away the link so other people can watch it, that's cool.
Yeah, no, cool. Excellent. And Muller, where are you, mate?
Muller Biker on Twitter, Muller999 on Instagram, and I'm in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Follow the network at British Tech as well, and it'll all be fun. Next week, we'll be back. We've got shows 4 p.m.
Bash.
Yeah, the bash is coming up as well. You need to buy your ticket. If you don't buy your ticket, there won't be a bash. There will be the people that have bought a ticket already. There will be a garden party at my place. Don't worry about it. But get out there and buy your bash tickets, because unless the 60 adult paying members, then we will not be breaking even on it, and we won't be doing it because I'm tired of funding it.
And we're having a garden party. Will the Queen be there?
Bring your own booze garden party, and everyone's going to get their ticket price refunded. See you all next week. There will be shows next Friday, and it should be loads and loads of fun. And Monday night, we're going to do a keynote show, I think. So that'll be cool if you can get along to that. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Thanks for listening.